You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. Nola knows her knowledge is your power.
11 minutes past 2, and thank you for staying with us here on 702. This afternoon, as we bring you Consumer Matters, we join Wendy Nola in Cape Town. She is a renowned consumer journalist, and today our focus is on travel insurance and the travel industry. Did you know that travel insurance policies don't cover you if the travel agency or tour operator that you've paid all your money to for your fantastic holiday, you know, that bucket list stuff that you have put together, if that travel agent goes insolvent? Did you know that? If you did, how did you discover that, by the way? And if you've been a victim of this, especially in this past year, it's more than a year now. I can remember early on in the pandemic, we dealt with so many issues pertaining to what our rights are regarding our travel packages, our holiday packages, that suddenly were put into question because of this lockdown. We have a couple of case studies this afternoon, and we'll be taking your calls, 011-883-0702, because the pandemic and the lockdown really disrupted millions of people's travel plans since more than a year ago. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Hello, Azza. Good to be with you.
Yes, this made me remember how thorough we had to be with all of these agreements and what the law states. And yep, of course, trying to have a level of understanding and compassion for the businesses that we were dealing with just over a year ago. But we're back here still, sure, now experiencing, yes, a different kind of fallout and having a new understanding, an area of understanding of how we're covered as far as travel insurance is concerned.
Sure. I think the message, as with all insurance policies, is to look at the exclusions, just zone in on the exclusions and the small print of the policy document. Don't just stop at the large print, because Marlene Pullman, like many of us, she looked at the sort of abbreviated list of what was covered when she took out this policy with the country's largest travel insurer. And it said travel supplier insolvency. And so when that actually happened to her, she thought, okay, great, I've got some cover. And turned out she didn't. So, and then I learned something in this, because I didn't realize that they're talking about end user supplier. So the airline goes insolvent if the hotel closes its doors because it didn't make it, you know, through the pandemic. And these are very real risks here. Then you are covered. But if you've booked through a travel agency, or if you've paid a tour operator at a nice package holiday and they go insolvent, then sorry for you. And the reason is because the risks are so big. But that means they're not going to cover it. But where does that leave us as consumers? And what sparked this whole topic for me was this email from Marlene Pullman, who booked a holiday with a tour operator called Fariesburg Country Tours to Botswana, and it was supposed to happen in June 2020. Well, of course, we all know that didn't happen. That was still hard lockdown. She paid an amount of just over 30,000 rand for the trip, but it was postponed to July 2021, okay? And she took out travel insurance with TIC. For the trip, TIC is Travel Insurance Consultants. They are a wholly owned Santam business and South Africa's largest travel insurance company. Okay, so if this whole thing was a disaster for Marlene. The first blow, tragically, in August of last year, her husband died. So the TIC did reimburse her for the cost of his policy, because obviously there was no possibility of him being able to claim. But she told me in an email, I decided I would still go with the trip, and I updated my insurance with the new dates, which was supposed to be July next month, basically. But come early March of this year, she was informed that Fariesburg Country Tours had been liquidated. She was sent all the official documents. They didn't survive the second wave of COVID-19. She says, I submitted a claim to TIC, and I saw on the policy, I was covered for an amount of 25,000 rand for travel supplier insolvency. But her claim was rejected because the policy exclusions state, quote, we will not pay for any claim arising from any travel agent, tour operator, tour organizer, booking agent, consolidator, or any person acting as an agent of yours. Hmm. And that's pretty standard in policies. And I must say, I shouldn't have known that, but this case was the reason I now know that.
Yes,
so in other words, as I said, only if the hotel airline. Yeah, it's lovely that, you know, we never know everything. And it's, I'm so indebted to listeners for, you know, increasing my knowledge with their cases. Anyway, so, you can imagine quite a blow of Marlene.
Absolutely.
And she really felt that others should know.
Yeah. We do have Marlene on the line. She's agreed to come and talk to us about this experience. Just the shock, of course, of discovering that she wouldn't be covered by the TIC insurance. Marlene, thank you so much for coming on. And I think first and foremost, our heartfelt condolences for your loss.
Oh, thank you, Zanya, and hi to you and to Wendy. Yeah, it's just disappointing.
But
at the end of the day, you know, so many people have lost so much in this epidemic that I really thought that I was covered, you know, by travel insurance. And unfortunately, I learned the hard way that I wasn't.
So when you took out the policy, was it ever pointed out to you in any way? Were you struck with that memory that, oh, they did say? I remember someone saying that tour operators or travel agents would not be covered.
You know, Zanya, when you take out travel insurance, you're really looking at the medical side of it.
Mostly, yes.
Because, you know, I've traveled a lot, and insolvency was the last thing on my mind. Just, you know, just like COVID-19, we were never prepared for that. So I must be honest and say, I don't think anybody raised it, and I didn't even think about it.
Yes, even as you engaged with them with the change of dates and as you continue with your decision to still travel, this never came up.
No, definitely not.
And it must have been quite shocking then to hear that your claim is being rejected.
Yes, I was very, very surprised and disappointed, and I did appeal the decision. And they referred it to the assessors. The assessors took quite long, but they eventually came back to me and said that they're sticking to the decision, that they will not pay the claim. And that's when I turned to Wendy, and I must say I'm so grateful for Wendy Nolo, because at least she did follow it up for me, and she, you know, it makes it easier for me now to accept my loss.
So, yeah. Wendy, you got the email and you queried this with travel insurance consultants. What did you find?
Yes, I must admit, I was slightly confused about why, because I read the legalese, whatever, and I still wasn't quite getting, okay, travel supplier insolvency is covered. Here's the proof that this tour operator, this travel supplier, went insolvent. So what's the problem here? And then I got, as we said to the client, the tour for Rijsberg Country Tours is the tour operator, and the financial insolvency of a tour operator is excluded from cover. The TSR covers independent travel suppliers such as an airline or a hotel supplier. End of. So I wasn't able to create a different outcome for Marlene, but I'm certainly indebted to her, as I said. As I said, can I please use this as a case study to warn others? Because if I wasn't clear on this, I'm pretty sure that a lot of others are, who have travel insurance. And the thing is, in Marlene's case, the booking was made pre-COVID.
Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, insolvency wasn't really a thing, but it is now. I'm getting emails from people who've lost out, you know, quite a few. And most of them, well, they certainly didn't mention the insurance aspect to me. So that, you know, I didn't explore it, but because they didn't have insurance. But in a case where you do take insurance and you see the word insolvency, travel supply, you think you're covered. But sadly not, unless you
it's
booked,
different times,
an airline. It's different times. And so I'm just thinking, anyone who's making a booking now, and most people, there's so, and we're going to delve into the pros and cons of travel agencies, but certainly, you know, you want to be in it with a travel agency if you've made an overseas booking and suddenly a country imposes restrictions that weren't there when you left home. I mean, you really do want to have a travel agent in your corner negotiating all of that for you than being completely on your own. So there's, you know, that's this new era that we're in, certainly, you know, supports the notion of going through an agent. But on the other hand, if they go insolvent, as many
you're left out of pocket, absolutely. And
then,
I think
then you don't have that cover. Yeah,
that's what I'm also curious about from you, Marlene, as we wrap up. What would you say your advice is now? What the checks and the things with the experience that you've had of changing dates, of losing a loved one that you had planned to travel with and now also losing out on what you had paid for the trip? What are some of the things that you think are key in going into these sorts of agreements, or in if we're going to go back and look at our papers, our documents all over again?
Well, I think the first thing, I'm a bit wary now, although Fariesburg had quite a good reputation, that I'll be very wary of very small tour operators. I think for me, I'll stick to the larger tour operators. And then secondly, when you do take out insurance, to really go through the policy carefully before you purchase it and to check the fine print and to follow it up, you know, as you said, with the people. What does, if you don't understand what it something means, what does it really mean? And what will the impact be if, you know, if something had to happen that you need to claim?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think those are the main lessons for me.
Well, thank you so much, Marlene, being willing to share your story. Of course, there's a lesson in all of us, for all of us. Thanks a lot, Marlene.
Thank you.
702. Nolan knows.
Yeah, that was Marlene Pullman, and we continue our conversation now with Wendy Nola. Very fascinating indeed, and I wonder what small tour operators think about that. As she said, for her, the lesson is to go with bigger tour operators. We know that the tourism sector has been decimated, and it's difficult for many, especially small businesses. It's been hard for them to keep their doors open. So what does this mean for you as a small tour operator? Because this can potentially remove confidence, take away confidence from your size or SMMEs in the tourism space. So I'd love to also get your comments on Marlene's assessment or sentiment now. Wendy, let's look at our second case study as we'll be chatting to Otto de Vries, who is the CEO of the Association of South African Travel Agents, ASATA, in a short while. Tell us the story of Pramesh Kalawan and his wife.
Okay, so a slightly different scenario, but also the example of someone that booked via an agency, via an airline for a hotel, and then needed a refund. So in January of 2020, also just before any of this COVID pandemic affected our lives so dramatically, especially travel plans, Pramesh booked a Zanzibar holiday to celebrate his wife's 60th birthday through Mango. So it was a package that he paid for the flight, the hotel accommodation, as well as the airport transfers. He paid the whole lot to Mango. The travel dates were supposed to be from the 19th of May to the 23rd of May last year, and he paid a total of $27,500 for the lot to Mango. Accommodation was at the Riu Palace Zanzibar. So it couldn't happen, a hard lockdown of May. And he says, you know, he had trouble engaging with Mango. Numerous attempts to contact them were fruitless, no vouchers, all cash refund was given. This was the interesting part for me. He contacted the hotel directly and it was informed that they had refunded Mango travel for hotel accommodation and airport transfers. Mango Airlines and Travel Help Desk telephone lines go unanswered, Pramesh wrote to me. He said there is no contact person and place to go for assistance. And this is a theme that we've seen, you know, since March of last year with these cases. He said, we are pensioners and this trip was our hard-earned, paid for out of our hard-earned savings. So I took up the case with Mango and I was told about a month ago, we are still waiting on feedback from AndGo, A-N-D-G-O. They are a travel agent that Bango books the travel packages through, right? So now we've got another party in the middle. Yes, we acknowledge that the hotel did refund the money back to the travel agency. So when I followed up this week, Pramesh has been refunded. Mango confirmed it. Pramesh told me he had, but he's still not happy. He says, after your intervention, Mango Travel gave us a refund of 15,220 Rand. Bear in mind, the whole outlay was 27,000 on the 18th of May for the hotel accommodation in Zanzibar, but they are still out of pocket for the air tickets. Mango has just told us that the flights up to the value of over 9,000 Rand will be valid until the 30th of April 2022. This is a concern for us since Mango Airlines is out of service and the third wave of COVID is upon us. We cannot risk, they're not doing the Zanzibar, not totally out of it, they're not doing the Zanzibar trip anymore. We cannot risk traveling as pensioners. Further, Mango took 2,700 Rand for administration fees. We were not told about this when we booked. We request cash refunds. So I'm going to pursue that with Mango. But the issue that pertains to today's topic is that had Pramesh paid that Zanzibar hotel directly, he'd have been refunded directly by the hotel many, many, many months ago instead of the agency sitting with that money all the time, all this time. I asked Mango how many other people were in that position, and the spokesman said that this is the only case he knew of, which is slightly surprising to me because it was a very popular holiday package that that Mango used to run.
Okay.
So yeah, that's the thing. So in this case, you know, paying the lump sum to an entity to sort it all out for you, not only in the case of insolvency, but in the case of when there's a cancellation, it can cause a delay. The flight's another issue, of course, that's directly with Mango, and they're choosing not to refund. But I have many other cases, Isaiah, of the same thing where someone's booked via an agency and had to wait a long time. Vitality Travels comes to mind as well. Had to wait a long time to be refunded, whereas it would have been a lot quicker had it been direct.
Yes, but we know that some of these it's hard to book overseas, you know, with an airline. When you have to book with a resort, with a hotel in another country, it can be so cumbersome and you just have to be... You have to have the energy, you know, to sit with it, to email every day, to potentially make international calls if there's lack of clarity. And so it's a convenience.
Exactly.
It's a convenience we want to pay for. It's a convenience we've been willing to pay for, but not if it's going to lose us the sort of money. Because as Pramesh says, as pensioners, to lose more than 10,000 rands is a lot.
Yeah, and to wait all that time for the refund for the hotel, where it would have been quick. So, yes, I mean, with international travel, especially, as you say, there's great advantage to going through an agency. If something goes wrong, you're not on your own, and, they do it all for you. But I just thought it was worth pointing out some of the downsides that everybody's aware. And hopefully we're going to have that all explained nicely for us.
Yes, it will. So what we're going to do, Wendy, is that we've got to take headlines, right? And then we'll continue our conversation. Okay. But we're going to chat to Otto de Vries in a short while, looking at the role of travel agencies in light of a COVID-altered travel landscape that we're living in. And just all the exclusions of agencies, because is this the only one? How else are third parties excluded from this kind of cover, and other third parties as well that we may have not considered at this moment, travel agents, tour operators, you name it, with respect to insolvency. So we'll speak to Otto de Vries, the CEO of ASATA, the Association of Southern African Travel Agents, after the latest in Eyewitness News. And we're taking your calls and your experiences on 011-883-0702.
702.
Nolan knows her knowledge is your power.
And we're back, 23 minutes to 3 o'clock, as we carry on with the new discovery, something that we hadn't realized, that even as an experienced travel, or rather a consumer journalist, Wendy Nola recently discovered. And that's the fact that third parties, such as travel agencies or tour operators, are not covered in travel insurance. But we'll find out about the extent of this. How extensive is this exclusion? And we want to take your calls on 011-883. 0800 183 0702, your questions and your experiences. For this, we're joined by Otto de Vries, the CEO of the Association of Southern African Travel Agents, ASATA, just to help us understand this aspect a little bit more. Otto, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for including me in this afternoon's chat.
Yes, we already have some questions coming in that I think you would be well placed to address. But first, let's just find out a couple of things. Is it standard practice for travel insurance in South Africa to exclude third parties like tour operators and agents, travel agents, from the insolvency benefit?
Yeah, it is completely standard. In fact, it's not just a South African standard process. That is how the insurance, the travel insurance policies work globally. So essentially, the insurance that you're taking out, the travel insurance, is primarily designed to cover a situation where the supplier of the products and or services, should they be unable to provide that service for whatever reason, including insolvency, that the insurance covers that. So it really is what you call an end supplier insolvency cover. The travel agent and or tour operator is facilitating those services on behalf of the customer on the one end and on behalf of those suppliers on the other end. So ultimately what you're doing is you're insuring for the end use of those services and whether or not that supplier is able to provide that service for you or not.
Wendy?
Well, as I said, hello, Otto. I'm sure Marlene is not alone in not realizing that, not going through all the exclusions and realizing, oh, goodness, you know, this was a travel supplier doesn't include a tour operator in her case, but it could well have been a small travel agency that she paid. I'm still getting emails from people who paid travel agencies last year and lost out completely when they went insolvent. Clearly the insurers exclude the third parties because the risk is considered to be too big, right? So is there any insurance product that a consumer can take out which would cover them if a tour operator, as in Marlene's case, or travel agency goes bust and they've paid all their money for this holiday to them? Mm. Or is it just, you know, tatama chance?
Sure. Look, I think at the end of the day, there's a few things that people need to consider. First and foremost, I think it's important to understand that the travel industry at large in South Africa is not a regulated sector. As a result, it does mean that we're always, as an industry, going to have to deal with fly-by-nights. Mm. It makes it extremely challenging for us as an association that represents a professional industry when, unfortunately, we do have players out there because of how loose the regulations are around starting a travel agent tour operator exists. So what you're looking for as a consumer is ensuring that you're engaging with an established, reputable, and well-known operator. At the same time, looking out for the ASATA logo, whilst we are a voluntary body, we do have a constitution, we have a terms of reference, and we have a code of conduct, which certainly places a high level of expectation around professionalism and how our members engage with the public and how their funds are protected. Why it remains an ongoing debate in markets, we have certainly in the past seen where, and including our own, where there are insurance policies that a business like a travel agent or a tour operator can take out to protect their customers should they as a business fail. Mm-hmm. And many of them do have those still in place. What is often becoming a challenge for us, particularly since the COVID-19 pandemic, is that we're finding that insurance companies are increasingly tightening up what they deem to be something that they are prepared to cover and what they are not prepared to cover. And we've certainly seen a number of policies disappear, which are designed specifically to protect customers and suppliers, but also agents, falling by the wayside as insurance companies are reconsidering risk profiles.
At the risk of asking this question, because, you know, we do need small businesses in the country, the bigger are the ones that take the additional cover, you know, to protect their customers against failures, the travel agents who do that, the tour operators who do that. Do we find that they are the bigger ones, and therefore the if you deal with the smaller ones, you're less likely to find that sort of cover? Because one of the takeouts that Marlene shared with us earlier on, which, you know, is concerning, especially when you think of what constitutes the travel industry, was that she will be less likely to go with the smaller operator, a smaller agency in future?
Look, I think it's a bit of a mixed bag, to be fair. I think at the end of the day, we have exceptional independent small travel agencies that deliver an incredible personal service to their customers. They build many years of relationships with those customers. And often those operations are underpinned by larger consortia. So, you know, I don't necessarily think that the risk sits, you know, there. And I think we also have to put it in context. Just over a year ago when COVID hit, we have to acknowledge that literally overnight, businesses went from trading to zero income. And the ability to respond to that quickly is difficult. Remember that most of that revenue that the travel agents collect is passed on to the suppliers. The fees that the agents earn are either a fee that is passed on to the customer as a management fee or a service fee, or alternatively, they may earn some commission from the suppliers. But ultimately, the core amount gets handed over to the supplier. At that point, we are fully at the mercy of the suppliers. And it placed travel agents in an incredibly difficult position, because they weren't necessarily holding the money at the time when all of this happened. In many cases, those payments would have been prepaid onto the suppliers, and the agents were unable to recover those monies. Airlines were particularly bad. And, you know, one of the concerns that we have as an industry going forward is how do we ensure that the business model of airlines, who often collect fees for airline tickets months in advance, and then are using those funds to cover their operating costs for today's expenses, is something that has to be reviewed, because we cannot allow a situation for that to continue going forward. It is not good for consumers. It breaks down trust and confidence. It places the entire travel industry and the value chain in a very difficult light. And, you know, we've been presented with vouchers. You spoke about the Mango scenario. I mean, first and foremost, Mango is not a travel agent. It's an airline. They're offering these additional services as add-on values. They're not professional travel people or tour operators. With all due respect to Vitality as well, they're an insurance company. Their primary function isn't to operate as travel agents. So if you look at these services and where Mango is able to then get the money back from the resorts and pass that on back to the customer, but are not prepared or willing to take the money that they collected for the airline fees and give it back to the customer, and are giving them vouchers.
Spot on. Yeah.
And that incident happened exactly in May, when we heard the first rumblings of the financial situation that Mango had found itself in. So, you know, travel agents and tour operators, I have huge compassion for them, because they are really between a rock and a hard place. They have the customer relationship, they have the supplier relationship, but are often caught in the middle when suppliers are put themselves in a difficult position around whether they can or can't provide those refunds.
So, Otto, how do people then protect themselves? How do we protect themselves in terms of, if you're a would-be traveler, in terms of how best to just cover yourself in the midst of these changes and this flux in the industry?
Well, look, I think first and foremost, we need to remember the context under which we're currently operating, and that is under a pandemic. The rules and regulations that apply are constantly changing and shifting, and that places the entire risk around booking and traveling at the moment in a very difficult light. Having said that, I think if you do want to or need to travel, it's imperative that, first of all, you look carefully at who you're booking through, understand the financial position that those organizations are in, carefully read the terms and conditions, think about how you are making those payments. One of your strongest recourses is using a credit card. Credit cards allow for chargebacks if the service is not delivered. And you are also in a position to take out a travel insurance that at least covers you if the third parties, i.e. the airlines and or some of the other suppliers, are not able to fulfill their function and their duties. You know, there's always a risk, but these are some of the ways that you can manage and mitigate a large portion of those risks.
Right. I want to get to listener questions and voice notes. So take a listen, Otto.
Hi, Azania. Can we get clarity on the insurance that one gets when you book your travel using your credit card? I know a lot of the credit cards do carry some travel insurance, which is why often you're encouraged to book your travel using your credit card. So if we can get clarity as to what is the extent of that cover and the advantages. Thanks.
There we go. Otto?
Well, look, I'm no insurance expert, but what I do know is that what is offered from a credit card perspective is fairly small in scale and in offering. And I think, like I highlighted earlier, it's imperative to read the small print. There should be no reason why you cannot inquire through your bank exactly what the insurance does and doesn't cover. And then you're in a position to determine what additional cover you may need mm-hmm. in order to cover the gaps.
Yes, and Wendy, we've covered this before. Just a quick summary then. Yeah, on credit cards and the benefits of using them when traveling.
Okay, so, Otto mentioned chargeback, which is for me the best reason to pay by credit card. But unfortunately, each bank does something different. But the period in which you can lodge a claim for chargeback, which is when you don't get what you paid for, essentially, and then your bank goes to the supplier's bank, and between them, you get your money back. I've used it, funnily enough, with Mango, and where there was some extra charge that nobody could explain, and I got my money back. The problem is with travel bookings, they're obviously, like wedding bookings, they're obviously often done quite far in advance, as in the two cases we had here. Mm-hmm. And by the time you're in a position to make a claim, your window of chargeback opportunity is now slammed shut. But in some respects, if that time, if it's not too long a time lag, then definitely chargeback would be an effective way, assuming the business is still operating and the bank account is still alive for you, for the funds to be retrieved. Yeah,
okay.
Definitely can apply to some.
Yes, we're out of time and I want to take a break, but Robert has asked us a question. And Otto, I don't know if you can help in just sending him in the right direction. And he says, we're supposed to go to Machu Picchu. We were supposed to go last year in June. LATAM Air have refunded us as well as the hotels. But the South African tour operator based in Peru maintains that it is fully non-refundable. What recourse might we have? That comes from Robert in Houghton.
All right, sorry, I'm just a little unsure if I understood. He said the South African operator based in Peru.
In Peru, yes. Is that
that's a contradiction in terms. I mean, that means it's an operator based in Peru. Mm. So the problem is that, I mean, I don't know what the consumer regulations are in Peru, and I don't know what the terms and conditions were that the customer agreed and signed to. It's a little bit, I don't have enough information to give a clear answer on that, I'm afraid.
Okay.
It would be interesting to get some more information on that. I just don't have enough info there.
No worries, that's fine. But Otto, thank you for joining us. Thank you for just unpacking these issues a little bit more.
Absolute pleasure.
Thanks. That's Otto de Vries, the CEO of Asata.
702. Nolan knows.
It's now 7 minutes to 3 o'clock. We've concluded the question of travel insurance in the event of insolvency of travel operators or travel agencies and tour operators. And of course, as you heard from Otto de Vries earlier on, the CEO of Asata, the landscape has changed. So you need to really be mindful when you're booking your trip. I mean, the questions he shared on what to ask, I think, are key. Who are you booking through? What financial condition are they in? How are you making a payment? Just some of the things to consider when booking your trip. But Wendy, let's move on to another interesting topic for today. You got a tweet from Simpiwe, and this has to do with refunds.
Yeah, and it comes up a lot. As you know, I'm on Twitter a lot. People are often, all the time, ask me questions there as well as via email. And some people said just this morning, "Hi, Wendy, I wanted to find out if it's okay for a store to deny customers their refunds based on the fact that customers don't have credit cards. My fiancé purchased shoes from..." I'm not naming the shoe chain because I want to engage with them still, and this just happened, using a debit card. She wanted to return the shoes, but they say their policy is to only do card refunds to credit cards, even though a debit card was used to buy. When you insist on a cash refund, all their stores don't have cash. I'm not going to go into when you're allowed a refund or not, because let's just assume the shoes were defective if she bought them in store, or if she bought them online. She had that 7-day cooling off period where it doesn't matter if they're defective or not. You just get to change your mind and get a refund. The point is that according to the Payment Association of South Africa's rules, merchants, that's the shops, are not allowed to process refunds on debit cards. It's a whole long, complicated logistical reason. But if a merchant does try to do that, the transaction will only be released after a thorough investigation has been conducted by the bank. So it could take many, many, many weeks. Yeah, essentially the agreement that they signed, those retailers with their bank, says that they may not process a refund on a debit card through that point of sale machine. That only works for credit cards. So, but if the refund is legitimately owed, then it's no excuse to say we can't process it on your debit card. So sorry for you, we don't have cash. Mm. There are other things they can do. Well, number one, find the cash. You've got many stores. Sorry, you've got cash. Number two, issue a gift card. But the person shouldn't lose out because a refund can't and should not be done via a debit card.
No, there's nothing else I like in the store. I don't like anything else, so I don't want a gift card.
Well, exactly. So it is an option if you want to get another size, yes, or another style or whatever. Okay. But point is, it's they shouldn't say that we don't have cash or wait till we've got. That is nonsense, especially as this is a company in question who has several stores. So it's just a denial of rights. I get a lot of debit card. They're not refusing. How dare they? It's wrong.
So, but what about the debit cards that are that are credit card enabled? I don't know if that makes sense. I have a debit card that I use as it's not the same thing. A credit card strictly.
It's got to be a proper credit card.
Oh, because some banks offer you a card. Yeah, some banks offer you a card that, you know, you can buy with online. There was a time when you could only buy using a credit card.
I see what you mean. Yes, I think that's why they came in. But these are referring to point of sale.
Okay.
So you go into a store and you've paid on the POS machine, and you've tapped or put the card in and put your PIN, and now you go back and you want a refund, and you want it on your card because that's the most logical thing, and you could do it with a credit card, and they won't, and the reason is they're not allowed to. But that doesn't mean that you forfeit your refund.
No.
I mean, as you say, put the cash in my hand, then thank you very much.
Wonderful. Yeah. That clarifies that. Thank you, Wendy.
You're welcome. Till next time.
Yes, till next time. So if you are booking your travel, make sure you listen back to this discussion, which will be up as a podcast on just the things you should look out for in order to better protect yourself.